All right. Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. My name is Robert Winters.
And I'm Judy Nathans.
And today is June 9th.
Oh my God. 2020. June, Robert. Where is the time gone?
It's just flying right past.
Oh God.
So anyway, it's a sort of pretty exciting times in the city, in the state, in the country, in the world.
Oh, right now. Exciting is one way to put it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, might as well say, actually, let me just say one thing straight up front here, just because I think noteworthy, since the name of our show is Cambridge Inside Out, and the original Cambridge Inside Out was on the air for quite a few years with Glenn Kuchar and a group of Barbara Sondra Ackerman, Graham, Tom Rafferty, Sondra Graham. And Marty Foster. And Marty Foster passed away just several days ago.
I just saw that on your, and I remembered that.
And I remember Marty really well, always with a big smile on his face.
He wasn't really that old. He's younger than me, I think.
Yeah. He's about 67, I think.
Yeah, that's young.
So anyway, so very, very sorry to
hear that. Yeah, nice to acknowledge that,
Very much. I mean, you know, we are Cambridge Inside Out, the sequel.
That's right. You know?
So anyway, the obviously the big news these days, the big, not so much the news, it's sort of like the big activity.
We've gone from, you know, one pandemic. It's not a pandemic, but it's certainly, I think it's connected because I think people were so kind of cooped up and all of a sudden it's like, it's all out there.
Yeah. So
for good reasons,
Right. I mean, it's interesting. It's almost like these things catch fire in a particular sort of way. It's very unpredictable.
Yeah.
You know, but it is kind of interesting how a horrible, horrifying incident in one place can steamroll and turn into like
17-year-old recorded that. A 17-year-old.
Is that right? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this is the George Floyd murder by a police officer in Minneapolis. And, you know, it's very unpredictable to see just how this would spread like a fire. I think, Judy, I think you make a good point in saying is that, you know, if maybe if there wasn't the pandemic, people's
having attention been three months get, before that. Yeah. Well, I think it would have been there because
also, it would have been big. But
who's been dying a lot from COVID-19? It's been Black and brown communities. So
right, which feeds very much into.
Exactly. It's just like. We might as well get it all out there because this is what, you know what I'm saying? It's like, there's so much happening. And then we have this total mad person in the White House. That's like, life is just nuts.
What I'm kind of eager to see happening. I think I'm starting to see some indications of it now.
Yeah.
You know, there's sort of the initial horror and venting and whatever, but at what point is that kind of pivot to turn into constructivism, you know, just so saying, what do you do about it? Really, what do you do about it? And we certainly saw it last night up at the city council meeting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, which was a virtual experience because you couldn't actually be there, but you know, where it's person after person after person testifying about the campaign to quote defund the police.
Yeah, which nobody completely understands. And
well, I think it's, you know, it's sort of in the eye of the beholder. So
right, yeah, but yeah, Fox right now is the beholder, and if anything, it's just feeding the fires of the Trump supporters. You know, because it's being misused.
Well, I mean, I think there is a certain political risk in promoting a policy which, even if it has nothing but the best intentions at heart, can be spun by political opponents.
Yeah, and I you're right. And I think enough people, I mean, Don Lemon last night on CNN, my daughter pointed this out, who is, and other people, John Oliver, pointing out, look at the details of what does that mean? It's not a terrible thing, defund, but the average person, if it fits on a bumper sticker, we're in trouble because that's what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, I think it will be portrayed, and it is being portrayed.
Yeah, it's like
correctly or incorrectly is basically let's just eliminate police.
Right.
And I think there's really very, very, very few people who really would actually support that.
Right. I mean, yes, you have to have reforms, and more than reform, you have to recognize there is systemic race in this society way beyond. I mean, it's been there, and it permeates all of our institutions.
Right, but the thing is that, you know, confessing one's sins is one thing. The question is, what do you actually do to kind of make
that's
better?
It. Yeah,
you know, no, I often liken this to, you know, to kind of a difference between, do you want to spend weeks just confessing what a horrible person you are, or do you want to actually start moving in a direction where you empower people. You know?
Well, but some people that testified last night would be saying that's what we're trying to do. We're going to move this money here and put it there. How many of those people actually have lived in the city long enough to know what the different departments do? I mean, maybe you could speak to that. It's just like, they made it sound like we don't fund anything. If anything, are saying we spend too much, you know.
I will confess, since I do have access to the street listing. One of the things I do recreational point of view is when somebody is identified, I kind of look and say, all right, when did they register?
I was going to ask you that.
I look at that, you know, I'm not snooping too badly about it, but the thing is that there are a lot of people who are relative newcomers. And that's not a bad thing. I mean,
if they stick around,
Well, but the thing is, we always have been a mix of people who come,
and they're going to come and house and all that. But it's just like,
I don't want to be anti-democratic about this, because the thing is, everybody has a right to speak. But the thing is that you should speak based on knowledge first, and inform yourself about what is true. You know, I think there's a lot of criticism. You probably didn't hear much of it because, you know, there is this kind of a problem when you have a public comment period or a rally or anything to speak a contrary point of view. Associated risks.
No, so kidding. We saw that, you know, with the school committee.
We heard, you know, some venting, whatever. Yeah. A lot of it was repetitive, I'll have to say, but
a lot, I would say probably 40% of it.
A lot more than that, I think.
Yeah, that's
But the thing is, these are valid points. You know, yes, in the abstract, sure. Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, people are framing this as kind of an either or. So they're like, take this $4.1 million from a police department budget so that we can fund various social services.
Let's abolish the department.
What they're failing to note is that the city is already spending considerable money on those various services.
I know.
And it's not an either or. The thing is that, you know, yes, should you be supporting all of these, you know, social workers doing interventions or whatever? Absolutely should.
Yeah.
But that's a somewhat separate question from whether the funding for the Cambridge Police Department is adequate, excessive, or insufficient.
Right.
Right. You know, these really are separate questions, but they were. I think some very political people were trying to frame this as an either or, and I think that's a terrible mistake. You know, and again, I mean, I have a point of view. We all have different points of view about this, but, you know, having actually interacted with a lot of the Cambridge police officers, and I have an enormous amount of respect for the commissioner, right? Yeah. Who's doing
most people
You know, the Lord's work, honestly, doing everything right.
Yes.
So there is this message, a terrible message being said here, saying like, if you do right, we don't care because we're going to whack you anyway.
We want to get rid of the whole thing.
Right.
And it's, you know, Camden Police, you know, it's been cited a lot, the Camden Police in New Jersey, they disbanded the department and then made everyone reapply.
But it's an interesting story. I looked up about Camden.
All right, tell me.
Because the reason why they did that was because it was a cost-cutting measure.
It was one of the most corrupt and horrible.
The problem was it was the union, the police unions made, and the contracts as they were made it difficult to actually things in a cost-efficient way. Okay. So what they basically did was they ended that. They created a Camden County police entity. And it initially it was not unionized, so they were able to
get away with that. That's interesting. Didn't the unions fight that?
They could have, but the problem is at that point they basically had they had eliminated the department. So
maybe that's one way you have to do it.
The unions are gone
in some places, not necessarily.
Right. Right now, you know, I have no opinions whatsoever about the propriety of police unions. I think there are some bad things that people do, like you shouldn't have them just simply rallying around to defend somebody who's dreadful.
Yeah, right.
No, but I'm not so sure that the problems that have existed elsewhere are really the problems that we may have here. And you know, it'll be interesting to see because the commissioner, I think what he's going to actually
right and the city on, manager and
right, but right after our mayor. Program, I think
oh,
it was
yeah, right.
7 o'clock on Jim Browdy's show.
Right, Greater Boston. Greater Boston. It's 7:30. But if you get online, it's PBS.
You could pick it up. It'll be replayed later as well.
But not the whole show. But
Commissioner Bard will be on the program.
Yeah, I've taped it. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. And then tomorrow, is it tomorrow or Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday at 6 p.m.
Thursday would be the special. 6 p.m.
There's a,
CCTV is sponsoring a town meeting.
It's advertised with, it's the mayor, the manager, and the police commissioner talk about police related issues. You know.
So people should sign up for that. CCTV, go to mayor. I'm sure it'll be posted somewhere. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't envy the commissioners sort of being caught in the middle of this.
Oh, boy.
You know, honestly, you have a good man who does good things who basically is sort of being able to basically being asked to answer for all police everywhere, which is, you know, that's kind of asking a little bit much of a person, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so, so I don't know how this is all going to shake out in the days and weeks, et cetera, to come. You know, I have some serious concerns about how the Cambridge City Council is going to behave about this. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say 2/3 of them have worked pretty closely with, police department understand it pretty well.
Yeah.
And you know, I would be really shocked if they did something excessive, just as a matter, just in reaction to, you know, sort of, a very select
political
public
pressure from all the residents to all the residents.
We haven't heard from all the,
I know, but I've been, I looked at some tweets and I'm not a tweeter and I never know how to do it, but I saw something from,
I know
I had to respond. I said, not me. I'm a resident of 45 years. I didn't go along with this, you know, and it's just like, it's just annoying.
As a, as sort of a math geeky kind of guy, there are some aspects of this that really infuriate me, like people's misuse of statistics.
Someone something about the 300.
Well, basically people would, they would cut out all the city departments and show only the police department versus the library and the schools and social programs.
But also, traffic enforcement. I didn't know. My daughter said there's 86 people under traffic. I didn't even know the police did that. I thought it was, that's a lot of people to have to go around the streets ticketing people in bicycle lanes, right?
Right.
Isn't that what the people they want them to ticket?
They want to do that. Yeah,
bicycle?
It's true.
Well, if you don't have them on the, I'm just saying it's also, it's details. It's like, get the information before you speak, you know?
Definitely get the information. And but the thing is, I pointed out, you know, one person got, and like it was on Nextdoor, Cambridge got all upset about the stats.
I don't even do Nextdoor anymore. I cannot.
Honestly, it's turning into the Usenet. You know, it's just the sewer of the internet now. Entities like that, just like Facebook and Twitter, they start off good, but then they kind of head down the drain. But the thing is, you know, I just pointed out that that just as a percentage of the entire annual operating budget, the police department actually is now at pretty much a historic low. You know,
right. I think I saw that in your stats.
Yeah. So it's I mean, it's still a substantial part of the budget. It's about 15.5%, I think.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, as a taxpayer, you know, I always view this, I say, well, when I have to pay my real estate taxes every year, which I do, right, what am I actually getting for my money? You know, I always think, well, I'm getting, I don't have to hire a guard outside my house because of police or a phone call away. I don't have to hire my own firefighters because there's a fire department a few blocks away. And mm-hmm. we've very conveniently put in these wonderful fire hydrants all around the city to actually do this. So I'm actually paying money for these most essential services. It's really great when we can, and if I had children, we would also be paying for children's education.
Right.
On top of that, then there are all these other kind of things that are a little bit more elective. I would say baseline social services, I wouldn't call those elective. I would call those essential services.
Absolutely.
But honestly, traffic and parking is kind of an elective thing. You know, do we have to have parking meters in the city? No, we choose to because we think it might be better that way. Yeah. You know, should do we need to have traffic signals? Maybe not. Maybe just put stop signs everywhere and go.
No,
but the point, my only point is that we choose to do it because we just want to do it. It's not an absolute
sort
rock
of like
bottom
status
essential.
Quo. I mean, most cities.
Yeah. So nobody should be in any way bothered by the fact that a substantial portion of the city budget are things like school, police, and fire, because those are the baseline needs. And then there are a lot of other wonderful things that we can do in addition to those.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we do that in better than most places by far.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that's really kind of horrifying to me is that, I mean, I already know, you know, dealing with some of the police members of the police force, how much we actually, they depend on people from the social services and the social workers to actually do their job. They work cooperatively with them. They set up a homeless court in Central Square where, you know, they work cooperatively to do all the things. Basically, almost everything people were demanding that the police department do, they're doing.
But the other point is, are they doing too much of that? And what, especially?
When, I mean, could you offload some of those services? Actually, I think they actually have offloaded some of those services.
Well, I think you could have more civilian type people maybe working within the police department to do those interventions that don't carry guns. Maybe they would be accompanied by.
One of the city councilors asked it either at a recent city council meeting or perhaps it was at a budget hearing.
Budget hearing.
But so they asked about this, and I think the commissioner pretty much said it very clearly. He said, you know, there are people they may start off dangerous. And so you do need to have somebody there, you know, police presence for dealing them then. That you don't stick with, you know, in terms of actually intervention with somebody who has substance abuse problems, you don't stick with the hardcore cop. Basically, their intention from the get-go is to transition them toward a situation where they can be dealt with by non-police personnel. That's the standard operating procedure today.
Right.
You know, now, I wish people understood that.
Yeah.
Did you
hear reference, several people brought this up, and I remember this incident about he was a Harvard student that was running naked near on Mass Ave. And I tried to follow that because I have worked in mental health. I have worked where I've had people be put into restraints. And I think their only avenue was, I think they kept punching him. And I think I'd read something where there was a certain technique they were using.
Yes, but, that's true.
I mean, he was clearly in a manic episode. I mean,
he was very manic. Math major too, by the way.
Oh, was he?
But we're not all so manic.
Okay. He was like 6 feet tall or whatever. I mean, he was very big.
No, he
was
out
trying to manage it. I mean,
he was out of his mind, and he was in the middle of the street.
Clearly, he was naked.
And if you actually looked at the recordings of it, what you see is cars and buses going right by in close proximity. And they were very, very concerned that this person was going to run out because he was out of his mind at this point, like right in front of a bus or under a bus's wheel. So they were desperately trying to restrain the guy. And the one way to do that is you've got to get their hands back so you can do that.
But they said something about repeatedly punching him. I think there was something they were doing that was supposed to be, I don't know what, but I don't think they were beating him up. They were making it sound like they were putting him into a coma. I mean, come on, get your details.
Well, you know, but the thing is that if you look really what's happening, it's kind of, I have a bit of an issue with media, right? And certainly for a while, but certainly in recent weeks, where everybody is kind of curating the video to basically support a particular point of view.
Well,
if you're on Fox News, you would think that there was nothing but crazy Antifa rioters. And if you switched to another network, you'd think it was nothing but peace, love, and Latter-day hippies.
Well, you're right. So it's like, you're right. And I think a lot of the people that spoke last night, I mean, they're millennials or whatever, and they grew up with social media where everybody can say everything and you get your, and that's fine. I'm not putting anyone down. It's just like, get more involved than what you were. It just felt so repetitive. And so, you know, we're on this script, you know, and I just felt like, I don't want to hear that again. If you have the same thing, 10 people should then join and say, we're saying this is solidarity.
In some ways, it seems as though like the major networks, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, are almost competing with Twitter to try to to show the worst side of human behavior. You know, because it draws attention.
I listen to the radio and I listen to a lot of good things that I get information from that are.
I wish if we actually had a country with a real president who could actually get up on national TV with a fireside chat and just acknowledge what is.
Yeah.
Admit what's wrong.
How did we do this to ourselves?
Make a simple, compassionate statements about where we ought to go from here, and then say, so everybody, let's just chill for a bit here.
Yeah.
Keep talking, keep advocating, but can we all just chill for a little bit here? You know, some of that seems to actually be spontaneously happening right now. You may have noticed that the the wilding aspect of things that was true. Seems to have relaxed.
I think when a march is organized by people that are, you know, they want to control it. I mean, you know, they don't want to have it stolen by, you know, whatever. I don't know.
But, you know, it's not written into the United States Constitution. But one of the unwritten rules about being president is you have to sort of be this sort of moral compass for your country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we are basically a ship running aground without a compass.
I know.
And you know, and it's like, you know, even if you are a president who actually has a point of view, even a strong point of view, you rise to the occasion because you have to speak for your country.
Yeah.
And we have a guy who just doesn't understand that concept, you know, and he'll never understand that concept. You know, so the combination of the virus driving everybody inside, exploding outward, a lunatic president, trigger incident in Minneapolis that really
But also highlighting, I mean, the guy that was shot.
I know.
Took, I mean, it just disgraceful.
I mean, I absolutely agree.
Living while black. I mean, really,
I agree with you 100%.
We are white. We're not. It's not going to happen.
But the other point I would make here, again, starting to sound like geeky math guy, is that if you're in a country of 300 some odd million people, with I don't know how many different police jurisdictions or whatever, even if you did every possible reform imaginable, you'll probably always be able to find some examples that are going to make you sick.
But I think people are trying to look at what is public safety and what does
I agree, and
it's got its roots in
it's a continuing conversation, it's a continuous state of reform. You know, it's like we said in the Constitution, I believe, right? It was to make a more perfect union. The thing is that we're imperfect and we're trying to perfect things, but I think people do need to kind of look back and say, okay, what was the circumstances 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, today, you know, we may not be right, but are we kind of moving in a better direction? And I simply believe we are absolutely moving in a better direction, just in terms of the bad stuff of it. I think one thing that I think we're doing a terrible job of, though, these days, is that we've backslid on horribly, is empowerment, sort of economic empowerment, whatever.
Oh yeah.
You know, the notion that, you know, I'm just a go-getter who's going to start off with a nickel in my pocket. I'm going to make something of myself and make my life better and whatever. That used to be easier, I think. And what we've done is we've kind of maybe, you know, whether it's because it's just too expensive to live, you can't start a business because you can't afford the rent. Or else is numbing amounts of paperwork and licensing before you can do even the slightest, most basic thing. Yeah. You know, even honestly, right now, it's considered illegal. If you just sort of walk up into a parking lot and just pick up some work, but you're working off the books, you're technically breaking laws. You know, but the thing is that the people, I think, naturally have a desire to make their lives better for themselves and their families. And that's white, black, you name it. It's across the board. And the thing is that as a society and government structures from top to bottom, I don't think we do a very good job of creating those avenues through which people can actually, you know, do better. And honestly, having the government just kind of come in there and do it for you is not the answer.
No, we need community-based solutions. We need workforce housing. We haven't talked about that.
You know, honestly, if I could...
More opportunities for teachers and policemen to live in the city.
I agree. But I also think that sometimes the best thing you really want to do, and I made some comment this the other day, was basically just, you know, let, you know, people from the neighborhoods who are entrepreneurial in nature, let them go wild and just get the hell out of the way. Let them start their businesses and just create an environment so that people can actually do the things so they can hire the local kids, give people a reason for living, you know, do some creative things.
It's happening in little pockets
in little pockets city, too. But oftentimes, you know, we do city programming almost.
Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes like to think of it as kind of like noblesse oblige. We're going to sort of do it for you and make it for you.
But, I don't know enough though about the workforce stuff. I mean, maybe.
There are some things they do that are absolutely spot on. Like there are people who are difficult to employ, chronically difficult to employ, and they do some training program. I think Ken Reeves actually deserves a lot of credit for getting this kickstarted. Mm-hmm. you know, where you can actually get people so they can actually get into useful trains, you know, employment, so that they're not kind of, you know, screwing up again, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a one place absolutely where city services, human services department can do great things.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, I want to see some, people from Cambridge. Why aren't you people owning those businesses in Central Square? Why aren't you people hiring the kids from the port? You know, that's the world I want to see, you know, and where actual local empowerment becomes more the rule than the exception, you know, and how do you make that happen? I don't know. I'm not in any way going to pretend that's an easy thing to do.
Well, they've started the cadet thing. Is that?
I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a great thing, you know. But, you know, I think I was making some snarky comment the other night about how, you know, and I think this is actually in response to something I heard at this rally that happened on the Common over the weekend where people were saying, like, you know, all we do is focus on bikes and trees and something else, right?
Yeah.
You know, what about stuff that really matters? And I was actually looking at the whole list of all the various city boards and commissions and stuff. And it's like, you know, bikes and trees and pedestrians and recycling and la, 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 la. Yeah. But it's not a single entity there basically doing something to kind of make lives better for a kid growing up in the city, you know?
Yeah. Well,
and I think we could do better. So.
All right. Well, we have,
I don't have all the answers, but
I know we have 1 minute left. So is this, we're now on Zoom. I don't know if people realize that this is a Zoom meeting.
Right.
So hopefully we were thinking of trying to do this, more regularly,
we
like
try to do this,
not necessarily with CCTV, but then giving it to them, but who knows? I don't know.
Absolutely. We'll see. I think we can do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so stay tuned. The city council is going to be meeting again to
tomorrow at 5:30. No public comment because it was a recess meeting.
They covered everybody, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So now, what are they actually going to do? I don't know. Honestly, you know, I'm trying to be hopeful that our city councils will actually show leadership, and not just act emotionally or play to the crowd.
More politically, it's a
be
political
thoughtful.
Thing. Too.
Just be thoughtful and wise, and provide answers, you know.
Okay.
So,
all right. So I guess we
anyway,
have
I guess,
five
we're,
seconds down.
We'll call it a day. So
all right.
Anyway, thanks
See
for
in
tuning
a couple
in
weeks,
on Cambridge Insider.